Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we're in the second week of a three-week sermon series on stewardship. The theme for this year's stewardship series is the three P's of stewardship. Last week we talked about priority. The word priority, putting God first in our lives. This weekend, we're looking at the word percentage. God's call to give a percentage back to him. And next week, as we conclude the series, we'll talk about the word progressive. As stewards, we seek to serve God more and more with our time, talents, treasures, temple, and testimony. This morning, we looked at some Bible verses that spoke about giving a percentage or back to God. The Bible also tells us that everything that exists belongs to God, doesn't it? The psalmist writes in Psalm 24, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, everything is the Lord's. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above," the New Testament says. If you would please turn to this morning's Old Testament lesson from Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, where God speaks about percentages. He challenges us. To the prophet Malachi, it says in verse 8, "Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." In verse 10, God says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. The word tithe is always a tenth, one-tenth of what God has given. The storehouse. In the days when Malachi lived, it was an agricultural society. People farmed. And when they would harvest, a tenth would be brought to the temple storehouse. When they butchered or slaughtered, a tenth would be brought to the temple storehouse. When they raised their herds, a tenth would be brought to the temple storehouse. This morning, as we talk about percentage and tithe, we'll investigate, does it still apply to us today? Are these words written in Malachi to a people in an agrarian society 2,500 years ago still relevant and applicable to us today in New Testament times in a culture very different from the days of Malachi? You know, I would imagine that as I'm up here talking about this, some of us might be thinking, man, the preacher's talking about money again. Makes me uncomfortable, preacher's talking about money. Maybe you're thinking, come on, preacher, don't talk about money. Talk about something spiritual this morning. But isn't money, the topic of money, something spiritual to talk about? Doesn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also? As someone once said, a faith that hasn't reached your wallet probably hasn't reached your heart. Money's important to us, isn't it? We use it every day, whether in the form of cold hard cash or credit cards or debit cards or PayPal or the checkbook. It's important to us. We need it for survival. And God cares about your money. If God cares about you and your survival, don't you think he'd also be concerned about your money? Preacher, don't talk about money. Talk about something spiritual. Consider this. Doesn't the Bible also say that the love of money is the root of all evil? So if the scriptures tell us that the love of money, or that all evil in the world, is directly or indirectly related, can be traced back to the love of money, don't you think that talking about money and how we use our money is a very spiritual thing? Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19 says, money answers all things. Money talks. You know, when I say that some of us might be uncomfortable talking about money, or talking to the preacher talking about money, I have to say that, I'll be honest, the preacher's uncomfortable talking about money too. He is. But I also recognize that if I'm uncomfortable with talking about money, if I'm uncomfortable about preachers talking about money, then I have to admit that I'm uncomfortable with Jesus' style of preaching too. If you were to go home after worship this morning and take out your Bible and go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those are the four books in the Bible where we see Jesus' life and teachings recorded. And you went to those four books and you looked at the parables that Jesus taught. Remember, one of the Jesus' popular ways of teaching was with these stories, these parables, these earthly stories with a spiritual meaning. You'd find that there's 36 of them that are recorded for us in the scriptures. But of those 36 parables that Jesus taught, 16 of them have to do with money and how we use our money. Or if you want a bigger assignment, if that's not enough for you, if you want to really dig into God's Word, go into the whole Bible and make three lists of Bible verses. Make a list of Bible verses that have to do with prayer. Make a list of Bible verses that have to talk about faith. And another list of Bible verses that talk about money and how we use our money. You'd find that there are in the Bible about 500 Bible verses that have to do with prayer. You'd also find roughly about 500 Bible verses about faith also. For the topic of money, you would find about 2,000 Bible verses. The Bible has a lot to say about how we use money. Going back to the tithe, that concept of recognizing that everything belongs to God, that God gives us everything and trusts everything to us, and he calls upon us to give one-tenth back to him. Let's look and see how that's used in Scripture. The first occurrence we find of it is in Genesis chapter 14. In Genesis chapter 14, we see Abraham going to Melchizedek, a priest, and offering him a tithe, one-tenth of some spoils. We see a tithe occur later on in the Bible again. Again, it's in Genesis chapter 28. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says, "And this person says, and the stone which I have set up as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you have given me, I will surely give a tenth back to you." Those words are spoken by the patriarch Jacob. So Abraham started it. Jacob continued it. The next step is going to be when the law is given through God's servant Moses in the book of Leviticus chapter 27. Well, God gives us the law of the tithe. In verse 30, God says, "And of all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. If we move forward into the New Testament period, we find Jesus referring to the tithe also. It's when actually Jesus is criticizing a group of Pharisees. And he says, you guys do this, do this, you look for this attention, and you give a tenth of all that you have. And then Jesus just parenthetically says, but you're right, and you're right in doing these things. And then Jesus criticizes them for having no mercy in their hearts. But as Jesus is criticizing them for having no mercy, he does commend them for their practice of the tithe. Jesus nowhere said that he's getting rid of it. So if you look at this little bit of a history of the tithe, we see that Abraham commenced it, Jacob continued it, Moses commanded it, Malachi confirmed it in this morning's Old Testament lesson, and Jesus commended it. Who are we to cancel it? It is relevant. I understand that in Africa, there's a monkey that's a delicacy. Anybody hungry this morning? A monkey that's a delicacy. And they found a way of trapping this monkey. How they trap this monkey is they've constructed a box. And they put inside this box some fruits and some nuts. And on the side of the box, there's a little hole. And the monkey sees the fruit and nuts inside the hole, and the hole's just big enough for the monkey's hand to fit into. And the monkey grabs the fruit and the nuts inside the box, and because it's holding the fruit and the nuts in its fist, it's not able to get its hand back out of the box. All it has to do is let go of the fruit and the nuts, and its hand will come back out of the box. But because it's got its hand on that board, it's not going to let go. It wants the fruit and the nuts. So it's so focused on that stuff. It won't let go, and it's trapped. Some people say it's a form of monkey sight. A person is able to come up to that monkey, making a fist, and then kill it by tapping it on top of the head. But all the monkey would have to do is let go of the fruit of the nut, and it could run away. But it refuses to let go. Do people do that too? So focused on hoarding the things of this world, keeping it all to myself, that we put our walk with God in jeopardy. Someone said there's three types of people in the world, three types of attitudes in the world when it comes to the stuff that God gives to us. First of all, there's the person who says, it's mine, it's all mine, I'm going to keep it all to myself. Then there's a person, too, that says, I recognize that God has given this to me, but it's still mine. I worked hard for this, and I'm going to give back what I want to God, when I want to give back to God. And then there's the person who says, they recognize with the words of the psalmist in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth is the Lord's. And they freely give back to God. Where do we fit in there? Where are you? Where's our church? Where does Trinity Lutheran Church stand as when it comes to giving back a percentage to God? You know, our goal here at Trinity, if you picked up a copy of our church budget, you'd see that our goal is to give 10% to missions and to helping others, 10% of what we receive. Some years we can do that. Many years we've done that. This year, though, some ministries have expanded, and we've had some unexpected expenses. There's been some months where we've had to make a decision whether to give to missions or keep the lights on. Give to missions or paying a bill, another bill that's due. Paying missions or mowing the lawn. Paying missions or plowing the parking lot. Paying missions or having repair done. Paying missions or getting an instrument prepared so we can have music during worship. The leaders of our church are hoping and praying that we'll make good on our commitment to giving to missions this year. But right now we are very far behind. My hope and prayer is that we will be able to give one-tenth of what comes in this year back to missions, both locally and internationally. We are thankful for all the opportunities that God has given to us. The psalmist writes, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." Each and every one of us has been generously blessed by God. The greatest blessing is our Lord provides us with all that we need, especially our spiritual needs. He has shared with us the good news that we have a Savior that God sent to die for us. By the power of the Spirit, He has created faith in our hearts. We believe in a God who gave up His Son for us. May that God of grace and love move us to also be good stewards of all that He has given. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, please stand and join me in a word of prayer. Gracious God, Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your abundant mercy. We thank You, Lord, for Your abundant provision. For those times, Lord, when we put our own wants before Your call to good stewardship, we ask for forgiveness. As we look to the future, Lord, we pray that You would guide us to respond to Your call and Your instructions concerning the tithe. Not just with our time, Lord, but our talents, our treasures, our temple, and also our testimony. Through us, Lord, we pray that You would reach more with the good news of Jesus, that You would grow Your kingdom. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace